You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned in to New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message.
However it comes, because he's allowed it, we will take it. We're back in our study in the book of Ephesians. By way of review, we'll start in chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Is Kevin Byington here?
Yep.
See me before you leave? Not right now. I preached in a church one time in North Carolina. And I went in there, and they were kind of looking like you guys, man. They were just dragging. And I get it, it'd be early in the morning. And so I was talking to them, and so I said, listen, I'm going to tell you guys something, but I don't want the people outside to hear it. And I said, so I need you to lean in. I was whispering real low, and they were actually, you can see them leaning in like this. And so I said, what I wanted to tell you was, wake up! And folks jumped, man. And from that point on, I didn't have no more issues with anybody looking like they were half asleep. And I think it worked today as well. I actually did that with a seniors group.
Oh, my goodness.
And some of them were actually sleeping. And when I said it, they jumped, man. And some of them had their head like coffee. They threw it on the floor. And my wife said, it might be a good idea not to do that with them, because you must have somebody have a heart attack, and then you'll be held liable. Just some fun for the morning, guys. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study that you have allotted for these guys here at this seat of mission, Father God. And though I know some of them loosely, you know all of them personally. And I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will touch and bless. Lord, as we go through these verses in this great epistle of Paul has written to the church at Ephesus and has been left and preserved for us here, I pray that you open our eyes to some new realities, Father God. Bless us, minister to us, and Father God, allow these truths to fall in a place where they would do the most good. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we say yes to your will and to your way, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, by way of review, beginning at verse 1. Guys, if you're with me, please say amen.
Amen.
And Paul writes here, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord, and we looked at that last week. He never considered himself to be a prisoner of Rome, but always of the Lord. He says, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, and he's actually telling us how we ought to walk, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. He goes on, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he's talking about the unity of God's Spirit, that as we do what he's calling us to do, each part of the body doing what they're supposed to do, that we walk and actually ultimately will run as a body in Christ. He says in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. He goes on, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and we know our Lord is Jesus Christ, and our faith is in him, and we're baptized by the Spirit into Christ. He says, one God, verse 6, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And that's a blessing for all believers, man, to know that God of glory, the one that created everything we see, is actually inside of us if we know him for the pardon of our sins. And guys, by the way, I see a couple of you don't have Bibles. If you need Bibles, please let me know, and I'll make sure I have one for you next week. They have Bibles, I'm sure, back there. Next week, if you're here, please grab a Bible and read along with us. You'll get so much more out of it. Amen? He says in verse 6, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He goes on in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he begins to talk about our giftedness. And guys, we talked about this before. Every believer has at least one gift. For the most part, if you're in Christ, you have more than one, but at least one spiritual gift, something that you did not have prior to salvation. He goes on, verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So when Christ went to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit, and with that Spirit, he gave you your giftedness, and that's to be used in ministry. That's what he's gifted you to do. In verse 9, it says, now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And we shared also, as Christ put on flesh and came dwell among us, that was a descent for God the Son. But also for the 3 days he wasn't seen, that he went to the lower parts of the earth. And we went to a couple other verses that show where he actually preached to those demons that were already incarcerated in hell. In verse 10 it said, he that descended is the same also that ascended. The verse says, up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And look, just as we know it was necessary for Jesus Christ to die and to be buried, and ultimately he rose to be with the Father, and right now that's where he's at, on the right hand. We know that he paid for the sins of all who will come to faith in him. And right now, scripture even says that he makes intercession for us in regard to our lives here. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes there's some answers that we need and we don't have them, that Christ will actually intercede in prayer and give you answers that you're looking for if you belong to him. In verse 11, he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And guys, this is just some of the giftedness that he has given. We know this is the early church. So after Christ ascended, once he went up and sent his Spirit and Pentecost and with Peter and all them in Acts 2, that he actually gifted folk first for ministry leadership. And all these gifts we see here, because of the infancy of the church, they were going to need leaders first. They were going to need somebody who was supernaturally already attuned and had leadership gifts to be able to get the church to go as the church ought to go. He says, again, verse 11, and he gave, and I love that how it starts off, because there are some folk, they want to grab a hold of the gift that they want, but it's God that actually gives you your giftedness. Sometimes folk will see me or somebody else up here preaching, they say, oh man, I like that. I want to be up front. But man, if he hadn't called you to do it, it's not going to work out well. Just like there are mercy showers, a gift where you show mercy. And listen, there are some folk that want to be greeters in churches and they have that giftedness or the gift of helps or serving. And there are some people that have a personality that's such. You probably don't need to be a greeter in the church because you're just not bent that way. Maybe you always got a scowl on your face, even though you're not mad, it looks like it. And your attitude is such that somebody come into church and they look at you and say, man, they might want to turn around and walk out. But it's just how God has us bent. And spiritually, he will put folk and give folk the way that he would have them to be. Again, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And he shows us why he gave them. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So he gives these gifts not for us to sit around and brag and for me to say, oh, I'm a big time preacher and you just a lowly servant. Now, he gave them to us to edify the church, to feed the church so that the church can function as a church. And by the way, guys, nobody's gift is more important than the other, which is why God gives them out as he sees fit. The one that has the gift of serving is just important as the one who is the preacher or the pastor teacher. Needed, all of them, because they have what I don't have, and I have what they don't have. And God uses the whole body to feed or to edify his church. He says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. And he's saying perfect, but we know on this side none of us are going to be perfect. We blow it every single day. But he's talking about a mature man, a maturing man, one that's going to grow up in his faith. Guys, yesterday or last week, I ought to have grown a little bit than I was last week and continue to grow. There are some folk that I know who have been in Christ for 30, 40 years, and they are still on baby steps. They haven't progressed any. And listen, they barely read the Bible, and it's hard for God to be able to use them because they're not moving along as God would have them to move. And look, we don't all move along at the same rate, granted, but you ought to be able to move a wee bit. You ought to be able to at least share Christ with somebody, or at least tell them what Christ has done for you. At the very least, you ought to have your own testimony. Amen? He says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. And again, growing in grace, growing in maturity, and moving along at the pace that God would have you to go and grow. In verse 14, that we henceforth, and this is another reason why we need to grow as well. He said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And he's talking about there's a whole lot of different and various false teachers out there, guys. And every week somebody comes up with something new. And a lot of it is form of fashion. It really has no basis in Scripture. They'll talk, somebody at this church will start talking about, over here they're doing miracles, or over here gold is coming out of the sky, or over here we're speaking in tongues, or over here we're doing this and doing that. And he's talking about a Christian that's being mature and maturing, so that when every little thing come down the pike, they're not running toward it. They're sticking to the basics and to the book of truth, as opposed to running after everything that comes down the pike. And all that does is get you scattered. And if you're mature in Christ, if he's got you, you're not going to fall for anything. You're going to stand for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him or into him, and he's talking about in the Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And I love what he says at the beginning of verse 15. He says, but speaking the truth in love. If I see you going back up in there and buying some drugs, should I say something to you? If I really love you, I should, right? And the same with you. If you see me doing wrong, you ought to pull my, you ought to come and say something to me. And look, you don't have to broadcast it to the world. But if I really love you, and that's what he's talking about here in 15, but speaking the truth in love, simply going to, hey, brother, you already know that ain't right. And you ought not to be doing that. And God says we shouldn't be under the control of any other source except his Holy Spirit. And what we're doing, we're showing love. And if we don't say anything, we really aren't showing love. We say, they can do whatever they want. What do I care? As long as I'm okay. But we're a body, and we're a family, and we ought to care about one another. And look, you don't necessarily have to like one another, because there are some, going to be some ways about each other that grate you for whatever reason, but you ought to love one another. And if you see your brother walking toward that train, say, toward the train tracks, and even though the trestle is up or the bar is up, you see a train coming, you're not going to say, man, he on his own. If he can't see it, ain't nothing I can do for him. Now you're going to tell him to stop. In fact, you might even put your hand out. Man, you can't go there. You're going to get killed. Because sometimes we lose our perspective and don't realize sometimes what we're doing actually is dangerous and really could hurt us. He says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according, he said, to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And Paul wrote a whole lot of words in this one verse, but he's simply talking about the body of Christ working like the human body. The leg doing what it's supposed to do, the arms doing what it's supposed to do, and every part, every gifted part is working in its giftedness and like the body of Christ, rather than just standing still, we're able to walk because every part is working as it is supposed to work. Right now I got a knee brace on, I got bad knees. And I know that there are other parts of my body that are compensating for my bad knee. And sometimes it gets gimpy and I'll act like I'm a fall, and other parts of the muscles of my leg will pick up the slack and it keeps me from falling. And there are times in the body of Christ, guys, when we need to grab a hold of some of our brothers because we know and we see them going a different way. We hear their mindset, we hear their conversation, and we know they're getting ready to fall. And the love of Christ says, I need to talk with them. I need to let them know I see something, I hear something. And you're going down a route that's not going to be any good. Let me pull your coat. Let me tell you where you're going. And listen, folk are going to do whatever they're going to do. We all grown, supposed to be. But you're still in love. You need to let them know. Because if they're not here, then somebody's got to pick up the slack. And then their part's not going to be done. And on and on and on. And listen, the human body works that way. When we're hurting it, and other parts of the body picks up the slack, but it's never meant to pick it up forever. And sooner or later, you need to go to the doctor and get that thing straightened out, because the other parts of the body is going to be out of joint, and then your back is going to hurt, and on and on and on. That's so such as it is in the body of Christ. If you're ailing, say you're ailing. If somebody was talking about somebody they knew had committed suicide or something like that, and I hear those horror stories all the time. And a lot of times folk are suffering, they're going through, and they never actually say anything. Because the macho thing is to say, oh man, I'm a man, I'm okay, I'll be all right, I'll get over it. But then if you need help, say so. And because you're big and strong, don't much mean that it ain't nothing going on inside. And sometimes it's just a matter of you being able to share with somebody some mess that's going on in your head or in your heart, or something you're thinking about doing and you know you really shouldn't. Say something to somebody. Just tell them you're hurting. Tell them to pray for you. And let the Lord do what it needs to be done. Amen? He says in verse 17, this I say therefore, in other words, with everything I've said from verse 1 all the way up to verse 17, I said it therefore, he said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And he says, in the vanity of their mind. In other words, he's talking about somebody that they think that they're all that. And he's talking about other Gentiles, he's talking about unbelievers. That we don't walk that way anymore. That's how we used to walk. That's how we used to live. And sometimes, even now as believers, we want to stay so close to that mess because we still miss it. But when you stay close to sin, sooner or later, that sin's going to jump out and grab you and pull you right back into that same area of sin. I know a lot of guys that got saved and they were drunkards. And they still like to hang in the bar and they'll just drink seltzer water or whatever. But sooner or later, man, it's not going to be long because they like being around that atmosphere. It's not going to be long. And somebody will say, come on, man, you can have at least a beer. In fact, I remember somebody saying that to me. In fact, it was my mother. The Lord delivered me from alcohol. And I go over her house. She said, well, you can at least drink a beer. And here's my own mother tempting me, but she wasn't saved at the time, so she didn't know. And I had to let her know, Mom, I can't go there anymore. I'm not that person anymore. And I had to explain that to her. And ultimately, the Lord brought her to faith in Christ as well, and then she understood. But there are some things and some places we should not go because it's going to tempt us to want to go back to that old way of life. If you did drugs, if you smoked crack or shot heroin or drank liquor, you still remember how that made you feel. And that feeling stays in your mind. And if you get close to it, it's going to make you want to go back there again. Amen. He says in verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth," he says, "walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." And he said, even tells us why in verse 18, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated," it says, "from the life of God." In other words, not being part of, if we go back to that old community, it says, "from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them." And even he says, why? "Because of the blindness of their heart." And listen, unsaved folk, like my mother, offered me beer or something to drink. She didn't know any better. In her mind, you can have a little something, and it's okay. But listen, I'm coming from the perspective of a Christian. I know I can't be under the control of no other substance except the Holy Spirit. And I know for me, being an alcoholic, man, one drink ain't gonna do nothing, because a whole gallon wouldn't do nothing. I was still looking for more. And by the way, in regard to whatever your sin was, whatever your addiction was, sin is never satisfied. Man, it wasn't enough licking in Brevard County to keep me satisfied. And a hangover in the morning, it didn't make no difference. I just start earlier, that's all. And listen, there are millionaires that have spent their fortunes trying to get high, and many times trying to get that first high back. And they never do, man. And the drug dealer don't mind, keep selling it to you and selling it to you until ultimately you're just gone. In here and then gone physically, because it takes your life away. He says about those unbelievers, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the heart, the blindness of their heart. They didn't see, didn't know. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over. In other words, he's talking about how we were before we came to Christ and how unbelievers are now. Essentially, we said, hey, sin, where you at? Here I am. What do you want me to do today? And whatever Satan said or his demon said, that's what we did. It says, giving themselves over, it says, unto lasciviousness, which is simply lustful behavior. And guys, we don't just lust in the sexual way. We lust at the different things, various things as well. It says, to work uncleanness, it says, with greediness. In other words, we could not get enough. I know I couldn't. Couldn't get enough. I never forget, I was living up north, and man, I'm drunk as a skunk. I'm driving down to a liquor store that I knew was still open on Sunday, and I'm driving, weaving down the road, man, a cop pulls me over, and he said, well, where you going? I said, well, I was going down here to the liquor store, and he looked at me, he said, don't you think you had enough? And in my mind, no, I didn't, but when he said that, man, it made so much sense. I said, you know what, you're probably right. I'm not getting no more drunker. In fact, the only thing I'm going to do is pass out. And so he said, look, I'm not going to give you a ticket, but where do you live? And I told him I lived right up the block. He said, turn this thing around and go home. And I went home. And that thing always stuck with me. He said, don't you think you had enough? But sin don't care, man. Sin will keep trying to give it to you. He don't care about me. He didn't care about you. And surely Satan don't care nothing about us. He says, but ye have, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, you just couldn't get enough. But, and this is key in verse 20, Paul says, but ye have not so learned Christ. In other words, with that behavior, we didn't get that from the Lord. We didn't get that from being in church. We surely didn't get that from the Bible. We got that from the world, and we were practicing. In fact, we all, most of us had on-job training degree in sinfulness, and we could do it, hallelujah, with the best of them. In verse 21, Paul says, if so be that ye have heard him, and he's talking about hearing Christ, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. In other words, do we really love the Lord? Do we really? Do we love him more than our pleasures? Do we love him more than our sin? Do we love him more than what we want to do in regard to fulfilling our flesh? And look, most times, I guess in chapel or in church, we can say, yeah. But there are some times, man, when our flesh overrides our spirit, man. And you can say it all you want, but no, you don't. You really don't. And you've allowed your flesh to take preeminence, to take over, and you start walking in the flesh. He says in verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation. He's talking about how we used to live, how we used to talk and walk. He says the old man, which is corrupt according, he says, to deceitful lust. He goes on, verse 23, and be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we need to, moment by moment and day by day, allow this word to renew us. Man, that's why we need to be in here every day. And when you have a moment, just throughout the day, just pray to the Lord. Because, man, all kinds of things start coming to your head. You'll have some thing come in here. I had a memory about some woman I used to mess around with, man. And for a split second, I'm sitting there saying, oh, man, I wonder what happened. No. And just like that, the Holy Spirit said, man, get that stuff out of your head. It wasn't no good then. It ain't no good now. And before you know it, I'll be on Facebook trying to find this woman. And God says that's sin. And rather than keep my mind in that mess, I need to keep renewed, being renewed in the likeness of Christ. He says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, because that battle, you know it starts here. He says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And look, in essence, he's saying that we can take him off and we can put him on. Depends on who's going to be in charge. Is the spirit man always in charge? If we're honest, we have to say no. And many times, probably more than not, the flesh man, he takes control. If you mad at somebody or angry with somebody, man, and you see them, and all of a sudden, hit one moment, you saying, oh, how I love Jesus, and you see them, there's that dude. Man, I need to go over there and smack him in the face, or whatever it might be. And it'll grab a hold of you, man. And no other place does that mess grab you more so, and I don't know why it is, than when you're driving on the road. That road rage thing is real. And I think because it just sneaks up on you, man. Somebody cuts you off and look, you're not at Daytona. Y'all not really trying to race. But we act like it sometimes when we're on the road, man. We get actually hot. And somebody thought it was a good idea to allow drivers to have guns in the car where road rage is prevalent, especially during rush hour. And then folk, when we read about it every day, somebody will stop and then they shooting. And later on, they said, oh, man, what have I done?
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministry.